Well, we are in the depths of mosquito season in South Florida. I don't need to tell some of you, you're attacked constantly. But a new study from FIU shows that we may have the tools to most effectively address the mosquito population. FIU biologist and South Miami Mayor Philip Stoddard examined the spraying of mosquitoes in the areas hardest hit by the Zika virus in Miami back in 2016. He found larvicide, or a chemical that targets baby mosquitoes, was much more effective than traditional insecticide. Now, this strategy has proven effective not just against the mosquitoes that carry the Zika virus, but all varieties, and Stoddard recommends larvicides for private use. The biologist and South Miami mayor joins us now in studio to discuss the research. Mayor Stoddard, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate
pleasure
it.
Pleasure this afternoon.
All right, so how is larvicide reportedly more effective than insecticide in killing mosquitoes?
Well, if you kill the kids, they never hatch out and become the adults. Knocking down the adults really is a game of whack-a-mole, because when you knock them out, they always seem to get replaced by more. And what the data showed from the different attempts at controlling the Aedes aegypti mosquitoes during the Zika outbreaks a couple years ago was that every time the sprays were successful at killing adults, they bounced right back in 2 or 3 days' time.
The population.
The mosquito population came right back. And that's because the mosquito population, turns out, is mostly consists of newly emerged adults. And they're flying around, they're easy to kill, but they're always being replaced from that pool of larvae and pupae that are out there. So going after the kids, going after the larvae, cuts it off at the base and ends the cycle. And the data showed it was effective. That was the most amazing thing.
All right, let's what's the difference between larvicide and insecticide when we're talking about the materials?
Okay, let's brief terminology. So insecticide is anything that kills insects, and insecticides come in sort of three classes. There's adulticides, which kill the adults. There's larvicides, which kill larvae. And then there's some in-between chemicals that prevent the pupae from hatching, developmental inhibitors. And what seemed to be most effective were the larvicides. The least effective turned out to be the adulticides.
And, you know, this also came up a lot, as you remember, back in 2016 with the Zika scare, was the use of NALED. And so what are the risks that we face with insecticides? Do we have the same issue with larvicides?
Okay, so the risks with insecticides, there's a couple of different issues. There's risks to people, there's risks to everything else other than people. And let's start with with people, because everybody's concerned about themselves. The classes of insecticides that make up adulticides, the popular ones these days are the organophosphates, which include NALED, and chlorpyrifos, which is recently being banned in the U.S. for food products. Those are nerve agents developed in World War II for killing people. Turns out they're really effective on insects. The other class we like to use are the pyrethroids. They're synthetic derivatives of the chrysanthemum flower. Pretty effective. There's other classes as well, the neonicotinoids, which are just destroying the honeybee population. All of these have problems. So the organophosphates, like NALED, are very broad spectrum. They kill honeybees, they kill butterflies. They shouldn't be applied near marine environments. The pyrethroids, some of them build up, particularly in the marine environments. And so you worry about the long-term effects on our shrimp populations and the marine ecosystem.
Did you see anything after the 2016 scare and, you know, we're spraying everywhere? Did you see anything that came from that, whether it was damage to the environment, to any other kind of species, or anything that happened to people?
Well, there was a lot of honeybee death. There were lots of photographs I got, just bee massacres.
While we were spraying the NALED?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's pretty much inevitable. And there was a few people who had some pesticide toxicity, not many. Normally, healthy people are pretty good at detoxifying these particular two groups of pesticides. The folks you want to watch out for, there's a few folks who are sensitive. They get chronic fatigue syndrome if they get any exposure. There's a small segment of people that don't have the enzymes to detoxify them, and those people shouldn't be exposed. And the other group that shouldn't be exposed is pregnant mamas, exactly the same group that we were trying to protect in the Zika situation. So there was an interesting study done in New York State where they're trying to control the mosquitoes that carry West Nile, a different mosquito in the Culex genus. they found that spraying the pyrethroids there was associated with a 25% rise in childhood autism. Now, it's not solid proof, but the association's pretty strong. And so, gosh, you know, here you are trying to protect the kids and you wind up possibly hurting them too. So a safe solution for almost everybody and everything turns out to be the larvicides. And there's a great one that's available commercially and for institutional use. And it's called BTI.
Has any city official from any community in South Florida reached out to, you know, to FIU, to you, to anybody, to look more into, you know, this study, to see what their practices are, to see if maybe they need to change their practices?
Well, certainly during the Nail It outbreak, a lot of people were talking to me about these concerns. And I have to give some credit here. Key West has done a lot of work with BTI, the larvicide, to control Aedes aegypti. And they've really put a lot of time and thought into how this is done, because they had a dengue outbreak that was a big problem down there. And so they got focused on controlling Aedes aegypti far before we did up here in the mainland.
I'm speaking with FIU biologist and South Miami Mayor Philip Stoddard. Stoddard is behind a new study from FIU about the efficacy of spraying mosquitoes with larvicide versus adulticide during the Zika outbreak 2 years ago. Now, the takeaway, targeting the mosquitoes' babies was a way more effective method. So Mayor Stoddard, the Miami Mosquito Control and Habitat Management brought on Dr. William Petrie, I believe is his name, after the Zika outbreak to oversee the department's efforts. How did his expertise in the Cayman Islands guide efforts in Miami?
So Bill Petrie is a longtime expert in mosquito control, and he actually developed a lot of the methods used today for controlling salt marsh mosquitoes. And some of these methods are, in fact, in play down in the Florida Keys. Petrie really knows his science. He's a wonderful guy, very, very educated and smart and very experienced. And when he came on board, I was at a meeting where he said the only really effective tool in our arsenal against Aedes aegypti is the larvicides BTI. So he and I are very much on the same page with respect to the efficacy of this control agent.
There's a unique program going on in your town in South Miami, where you're the mayor, to take on the mosquito population. If I understand this correctly, you're infecting male mosquitoes with a bacterium so they become sterile?
Pretty close.
Okay.
So there's an old technique that was used to control the screwworms, the flies that parasitize cattle. And what they did back then was they sterilized males using radiation, released gazillions of males. And so when the females went out to breed with males, most of the males they found were sterile. And it wiped out screwworms in the United States. Very effective. So now there's some new variations on the technique. And the one that's being used in South Miami uses a bacterium called Wolbachia. Half the insects in the world have some kind of Wolbachia in their cells, half the species. And they live in symbiosis with the animal. Turns out our local Aedes aegypti do not have Wolbachia. And there's another biological wrinkle to the story here. And that is, if the male has it and the female does not have it, when the gametes, the egg and the sperm, get together, if the sperm has Wolbachia, the new little embryo does not develop. They're cytoplasmically incompatible. So we release male mosquitoes that have Wolbachia. They find the wild females that don't have Wolbachia, and they're better at finding females than we are. They can seek them out. They mate, and the eggs don't develop. So this is even better than targeting the kids. This is targeting reproduction.
So how long has this program been in effect?
So we ran a trial this summer in a section of South Miami, a half mile on a square, and the results were pretty encouraging. In the center of that area, we saw a depression of about 80%.
Is there any concern when we try anything, really, that, you know, we might be creating some new, evolved mosquito or insect that is able to withstand anything we throw at it, and it's just worse than anything we've ever seen? Because we tend to do that, right? As humans, we play with nature, and nature tends out winning, usually.
Well, that's what I want to spend the next few years researching, is exactly that question. If you figure that our local mosquitoes can fit in 15 generations a year, they can outbreed anything you do. So for instance, we say, okay, we want to kill the adults. So when's a safe time to do it? Well, you want to get the mosquitoes before the people wake up. So you spray them at 6 in the morning. before everybody's out. What do? You select for the late risers. So the mosquitoes that happen to wake up at 7 o'clock are the ones that populate the cities. And then after that, spraying at 6 doesn't work anymore. And they saw this kind of whack-a-mole game. We've seen it with pesticides. They become resistant to different pesticides. In fact, our Miami Aedes aegypti mosquitoes are very resistant to pyrethroids compared to other mosquitoes around Florida. But they saw it with malaria. They finally figured out how to keep malaria out of the houses where they bit people. So the malaria evolved to wait outside houses to bite people. I mean, it's a marvelous game that evolution plays. So you're absolutely right.
This larvicide, by the way, this is something people could just buy at a store and use around their own home. And you're actually encouraging that of people.
Yeah, so
private use.
So let's go to this larvicide. So why don't they evolve resistance to the larvicide? And turns out BTI, the soil bacterium, has 4 different toxins. And so the mosquitoes could evolve resistance to one, but the other 3 would get them. And so it's very hard for genetic evolution to get a purchase, to get a foothold on this soil bacterium. So BTI you can buy, and you can get it at Home Depot. You can get it online at Amazon. You can get it over at Galloway Nursery. And there's a commercial product called Mosquito Bits. It's ground up corn cobs, looks like post-grape nuts, and it's treated with this bacterium. And you throw a few grains into your bromeliads, every single one. You throw it into the cat dish if you got a water dish outside, if you've got potted plants. You can use it indoors. You can safely eat this stuff because it doesn't affect people. In fact, it doesn't affect butterflies. It doesn't affect most insects. But mosquitoes are one of the few it does affect.
The battle against mosquitoes is it's a fascinating conversation to have. And I still got you here. Before we finish up, I want to switch things up a little bit because I want to focus on some issues going on in your town. You're here, and I have to ask you this, but there is a controversy going on right now in South Miami. There's an investigation into actions that you took against Stephen Cody in South Miami, in a South Miami Commission meeting earlier this year. He's arguing that he was silenced in the meeting, and this violates his right to be heard under the Citizen Bill of Rights for South Miami-Dade. Please, first of all, explain to us why you refused to listen to Cody. Why didn't you let him talk at a meeting?
Well, Mr. Cody was a paid political operative. His only business in South Miami was as a paid political operative. And under at least the interpretation of the regulations by our city attorney, if you are paid to represent an issue before the council, you have to register as a lobbyist. Mr. Cody had not registered as a lobbyist. So I asked the city attorney if he had to register before speaking. The city attorney said he did. The commission discussed it. The commission concluded that indeed he did have to register as a lobbyist. And it was a different member of the city commission who told him, "I'm sorry, Mr. Cody, you have to register before you can speak."
What is the, help me understand the right to be heard under the South Miami Citizen Bill of Rights.
Well, this is countywide. And if you are, quote, an interested person, unquote, you have the right to address the local elected body before they vote on a matter. What's an interested person? It's not somebody with an intellectual curiosity. Under Florida state law, an interested person is somebody who holds a material interest or financial interest in that municipality. So if you're a taxpayer, if you're a property owner, if you own a business, you have a material interest. Likewise, if you're a paid lobbyist, you have a material interest. But if you're just some random person who has curiosity or wishes to go speak somewhere, you're not legally an interested person.
You already knew who he was and when he was stepping up, because I'm wondering if, like, when he came up the first time, I think it was in January, did you know who he was and what he wanted to say?
Well, I just got a robocall from him a few hours earlier. And so he'd sort of announced his what he was talking about there. But he began to speak, and he was he made it clear what he was going to be talking about. And, you know, this again, this comes back to following the advice of the city attorney. So when I consulted with the city attorney could have said, "Mayor Stoddard, please, let him speak." Or the city attorney could have said, "No, Mr. Cody, you have to register as a lobbyist." So we had the discussion with the city attorney, and the city attorney said he had to register. Now, he could have done that. He could have gone and registered the next day with a clerk, come back to the next meeting as a registered lobbyist, and he would have had the city clerk, sorry, the city attorney's permission to speak at the meeting. And I have to rely on the advice of my city attorney. That's what it comes down to.
If he registers as a lobbyist, then he would be allowed to speak.
Absolutely. Well, whether I like it or not. You know, if you're an interested person, then you have the right. And I don't have to like what you say. Nobody does. But you have to have standing. And if you're paid to be speaking, then you have to register.
I appreciate you answering those questions. Again, talking with FIU biologist and South Miami Mayor Philip Stoddard. A new study, because we were talking about this new study from FIU, talks about the efficacy of spraying mosquitoes with larvicide versus adulticide. Interesting conversation about maybe a new way to attack, you know, mosquito populations here in South Florida, because I know a lot of people were worried about some of these adulticides, and of course they were, a lot of people were angry about the whole NALID thing. So a study that we're going to keep looking at, and I know that, as you said, you want to keep studying, I guess, this back and forth between humans and mosquitoes, so I definitely want to have you back so we can figure out where that battle is and what we can do next. Mayor Stoddard, I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.